Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Good Life every Saturday here on 1330 KNSS. Hey, and don't forget, it's also 98.7 FM. It's The Good Life. Food, wine, and fun for your ears with yours truly, Guy Bauer. And, you know, you can go to goodlifeguy.com. You can see since 2009, you can go all the way back to shows that are still in the archives there, and you can learn about what we've been talking about. And you can also see what's coming up in the future. On the phone with me is Jim Treves. Jim, this is such a fun thing to talk about New York because, let's face it, and it's not just a middle-of-the-country thing. People from New York probably are short on knowledge of the great grapes being grown in New York. And it's not just the Finger Lakes. I did a live radio show from out on Long Island years ago and was just blown away. And that was a long time ago. And I know they, too, have continued to up the quality and the technique and the grape varieties. And it's just such a pretty place and so different than the Finger Lakes. Tell us a little bit about your impressions of Long Island and the winemaking growth in your time there at the New York Foundation of Wine and Grape.
Yeah, it's another very exciting region and one that's growing as well, both in terms of quantity and quality. It's a very young region. The first pioneers, Alex and Louisa Hargrave, planted the first vines out there in 1973, which is very young for a grape and wine industry. But it didn't take very long for them to produce some really good wines and to get notice from other people that, hey, this can be done on Long Island. And it's a very different type of climate and landscape from the Finger Lakes. Finger Lakes is lakes. It's cool climate. The Long Island region is ocean and warmer climate. It's not warm like Australia or California, but it's, you know, very much like Bordeaux. It's a maritime climate. So you can grow red wine grape varieties like Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot more with less risk, I guess I would say, out on Long Island than you can in some of the cooler regions, even though you can still do it there and produce some really lovely wines. But Long Island is a very interesting region because it's about 75 miles east of Manhattan, where the island splits into two forks. There's the North Fork of Long Island, which is where the vast majority of the 60 wineries are. And then there's the South Fork, which is called the Hamptons, and that's the playground of the rich and famous. That's where the singers and the actors and the artists and the Wall Street bankers all have their incredible mansions, like you said, you know, read about in The Great Gatsby. And so that's basically the Hamptons. There's only a few wineries on that side, but it's a really interesting place. And they're making some really great wine.
I have fond memories of Cabernet Franc. I think that's a variety that really does well in Long Island, and fun to see. And it is literally such a huge difference. And then we kind of flew past the Hudson River Valley and some of the wines being made there. What's your thoughts on the Hudson?
Hudson is very interesting as well. It's actually the oldest of the wine regions in New York. And in fact, you know, Henry Hudson sailed his boat up the Hudson River from Manhattan. And, you know, they saw these wild grapes on the hillsides. They thought that's really wonderful. Well, they didn't make very good wine, so their enthusiasm wasn't long-lived. But the oldest continuously operating winery in the United States, Brotherhood, 1829 was first vintage. It is in the Hudson Valley. So is the oldest vineyard, which is called Ben Marl. Well, so there's a huge amount of history, and you have a lot of other major institutions there. It's north of New York City by an hour to 2 hours, depending on where you are in the valley. But you have the Culinary Institute of America. You have Franklin Roosevelt's estate. You have the Hudson Valley art movement, you know, from years ago, Hudson Valley School. and a lot of others. So it's each of these regions is so incredibly different, and that's what makes it so much fun to tour the different regions and within the regions of different wineries, because it's always a different experience wherever you go.
Well, you're talking, and in my mind, I'm thinking, when I go back, I'm going to take, as now a newly retired pilot, I'd like to go back and spend like 3 weeks and do a week in the Finger Lakes and maybe a week in Hudson and do all the fun New York City things and then go out to Long Island. What a tour that would be. There is a wealth of information that a lot of people would not even investigate because they don't know, and that's one of the things you and I are doing today. The Finger Lakes Wine Country website, fingerlakeswinecountry.com, man, it's got everything from wine and food, things to do, places to stay, and a trip planner that you know, tells you how to get there the easiest ways. And if you want to do a destination wedding, or if your focus is on wine, you know, there's things there. What other online resources are, obviously the NewYorkWines.org, where you got to sign up for Uncork New York, even if you're not in the business, because there's a wealth of information that comes out through that with their email newsletter that Jim used to do. What other things, did I miss anything? What are other places folks could go to learn more about New York winemaking in general?
Well, those are both the really good starting points. And then what you will get in each of those is links to other websites, whether it is to wine trails, which are clusters of wineries in a geographical area that work together to help promote tourism and make your life easy when you're visiting the region. And there are a number of other websites, you know, with smaller organizations. So I think if you start with either NewYorkWines.org or the Finger Lakes Wine Country one, that's all you have to do is find those and then have fun clicking through and finding exactly what you want.
The wine trails thing has become so popular in most any growing region in our country, where you can go and someone has put the time and the thought together to have a recommended itinerary and with contact information and restaurants and things like that. And it's such a help, especially if you've never been there. You don't have much background in that particular wine growing region. Let's talk about future growth. A lot of people think that, like, no one can afford to buy land anymore in Napa, and most of the choice stuff is either under crop now and has vineyards, or it's already purchased to have vineyards in the future. What do you see as growth in New York and in the Finger Lakes in particular?
I see it as continuing for a couple reasons. One is the Finger Lakes is actually a very large region. I said before that Seneca Lake is about the same size as Napa, 35 miles long. And on Seneca Lake, there's 60 wineries. In Napa, there's over 300. So just that lake alone. But there are 12 other lakes, and half of those or so are really suitable for growing grapes and making wine. And there's lots of room around them. So that's number one, is there's still the room. And number two is the affordability. You know, in Napa Valley, an acre of land will go for an astronomical amount, way over $200,000 per acre. In the Finger Lakes, it's more like $5,000 per acre. So if people are, and the Finger Lakes has now been proven to be a premier wine producing area, so you're not taking any risk about, is this going to work? If you do it right, it's definitely going to work. And I'll also say, I will compare it to Long Island, which actually is more like Napa Valley, unfortunately, than the Finger Lakes. There's a huge amount of money out there, which makes the land very expensive. So it's harder to start a new operation out there, but the Finger Lakes is wide open.
And it's so pretty. Yes, Napa's pretty, blah, blah, blah. But I was struck by the green and lushness of everything, even if it wasn't grapevines growing. If you like race car racing, the Watkins Glen right at the south end of the lake is a great thing to tie into your winery visit. Pretty cool stuff.
Absolutely.
New York Wine Country. Jim, if you can stay with us just for a minute, I want to talk a little bit about the International Riesling Foundation after this break.
Sounds good.
All right. Do stay with us. If you just joined us again, my guest is well, he's who's who of New York grape growing in that regard, and has been so involved for over 30 years now. Jim Trezise is a great guy, and you need to go to goodlifeguy.com. I'll have links to all these different websites that we've talked about and plan a trip. You'll love it. When we come back, we'll talk about the International Riesling Foundation. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.